And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone, as we embark upon our second hour this evening in the Political Cesspool. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you. We hope you enjoyed our little stray from the beaten path there during the first hour as we had a talk about the origins and fun side of Halloween, and then a serious talk with Senator John DeCamp about the dark side of Halloween, a dark side which includes Satanism, child abuse, and even murder, just what he's seen of it in Nebraska. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is responsible for booking the senator this evening, and I want to thank you, Eddie, for getting us such a great guest tonight. And you made mention in the break of the fact that Senator DeCamp has been taken to court, sued many times because of his findings, but never once lost.
Yes, he has. He has, James. And not only has he been sued, there's been threats on his life. There's been attempts on his life. There have been 12 to 15 members of his staff have been murdered. One of them mentioned, he mentioned the Cardadori, who was the retired state trooper who worked in, as a detective with him. And as he said, he made mention, I'll make it real brief, he made mention it goes all the way to the White House, to Washington, D.C. If people should know that it crosses both party lines. The people in Washington, D.C., there's a great deal of people there, James, that they worship Satan. They worship a different god than we do. And it's being seen right now, being reflected in, as we see the banking community fog coming down and in the banking people sticking it to the citizens. But they're making war on the American people, and these people, they are of a different god, James. And he found that with the Franklin cover up, John DeCamp got into much more than he ever dreamed. In his worst nightmare, matter of fact, he told me personally that he just wished to God he never even heard about it sometimes.
Well, and all of those findings, so much more than we can squeeze into to a 30-minute segment here on our program. But I do encourage folks to buy the book. Senator DeCamp gave out that information a moment ago. And learn for yourself if you're interested in the story. As I said, we talk about the contemporary issues that you would expect us to talk about and address on a radio program of a political nature. We also talk about issues from time to time that perhaps aren't on your radar screen, and that's why you tune into this show. But with that being said, Eddie, I want to segue into some more current topics before we get on to our next guest. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the third hour is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to get back on the regular standard format next week, talking about the election and our normal topics. But the third hour tonight is going to be a lot of fun as we have our on-air birthday party. We're going to talk with the entire cast and crew, all of the hosts of the Political Cesspool, as we reflect upon things that we've accomplished over the last 4 years and where we intend to go. But one thing real quick as we segue back into some current issues, we're going to spend the next segment after the forthcoming break talking about that before we go to our next guest a little later, who is David Saeed, a former Panamanian government official, going to be talking about the economy. But I just saw this week, Eddie, that Sarah Palin, the vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party, told a Hispanic network that deporting illegal aliens is inhumane. And then she turned around and insists that she's against amnesty for illegal aliens. So, in other words, she and McCain are in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens, but they just don't want to use the word. And I know, Ed, you went in and early voted the other day, and you cast your vote for Chuck Baldwin.
Just to be clear,
folks, Chuck Baldwin is the candidate that has been endorsed by this program, for what it's worth, probably not much more than a kiss of death. But, I've got to vote for Chuck Baldwin, Ed. There's just no difference between the two parties. We've known that for a long, long time, going back even before the days of George Wallace. But nevertheless, when you got Palin, and I know she's excited a lot of the evangelicals, and she's excited a lot of the social conservatives, and she's right on a few things, but, listen, we can't have amnesty, man. And when it comes down to the most important issues, she and McCain, what's that? All right, we got to go to break. We're going to pick it up right after this.
Oh, John, Stephen will be good to you. Hang on to you.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com, and find out what two dangers you really do face today and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus seven other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient one-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Anyway, Eddie, I was talking so much and getting so worked up about Sarah Palin telling a Hispanic network that deporting illegal aliens, or in other words, enforcing our laws, is inhumane, that I ran smack dab into that commercial break and didn't even see it coming. But anyway, it goes to show that the Republicans believe that they can hold conservative white voters hostage because the candidates that they nominate aren't quite as bad as a full-fledged European communist like Barack Obama. But, you know, John McCain is wholly for amnesty. He comes to the South and disgraces the Confederate flag and badmouths the Confederate flag. I've tried to get excited about Palin. I really did, but I just can't. You know, not after comments like this and not after her talking about what a big ally Israel is. And anyway, I know you voted for Chuck Baldwin, Ed. Anything you want to add to that? Not too much to say there, I don't guess.
Well, you know, we talked about that for you ever since I've known you, James, how there's not any difference at all between the two major parties. They're both corrupt and bought and sold, bought and paid for by the major people in the world who run everything. And if anybody comes out of either one of those parties, Republican Party, Democratic Party, you can just kiss them goodbye. I mean, they're bought, but they would have never picked Palin. The powers that be, if they'd not have controlled her. Matter of fact, one of the first things she did was go to the big CFR meeting, and she got her marching orders from the Conference on Foreign Relations. But you're well,
there you have
right
it, folks. So if our endorsement carries any weight, I know we at least got to have five or six people out there that will vote the way we tell them to or suggest them to vote for Chuck Baldwin. And I guess I know there's some people out there that want to vote for McCain just for purely symbolic reasons, because none of us want a black radical communist as a president. But lucky for Bombardier and I that Tennessee's a red state, so we can vote for Baldwin and know that Tennessee's not going to go for Obama. But really, for all intents and purposes, and it's not an exaggeration, I wish it wasn't true, but McCain isn't going to be any better for European Americans. But speaking of Hispanics, Eddie, and Palin being the latest to pander to these illegal aliens, the Dallas Independent School District there in Dallas, Texas, just laid off 550 teachers about a week or so ago. And you can read along with me, ladies and gentlemen, at our website. All of this is documented at my blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we have links to the sources that we use. Anyway, lots of people in Dallas weren't very happy about the fact that 550 teachers were just fired. And I think they'll be even less happy after reading just two or three days ago that the man who's responsible for the mass firings, Superintendent Michael Hinojosa, says that some teachers didn't have to worry about losing their position because their jobs were protected. And can you take, Eddie, a wild guess as to which teachers were protected and didn't have to worry about losing their job in this terrible economy? Was it the best teachers? Well, of course not. Was it perhaps the teachers with the most seniority? No. The only teachers whose jobs were protected in this flash of 550 teachers in Dallas were the teachers there who speak Spanish and English. No matter that many of these bilingual teachers have very little seniority and that lots of them have been recruited specifically from third world countries, their jobs are protected while white American teachers with far more seniority and far higher evaluations are in the unemployment line. That, my friend, is the United States of diversity, and you'd better get used to it. Eddie, your thoughts on that story?
Well, I'll tell you, James, it's not surprising at all to me. And I can guarantee you, if you were to talk to any of the major presidential candidates, they would probably go right along with that. They would probably be in favor of what happened in Dallas. It's a major war against the white European Christians in this country. And they don't really, James, they don't give a hoot in hell about those Spanish people down there, those Mexicans, wherever they came from. All they care about is just they use them as a buffer zone against us. They're trying to destroy this nation, our sovereignty, our borders, everything this country stands for, and they're using these illegals to do that. And they're everybody hates the white Christians nowadays, and it goes right along with the church, James. I'm not surprised at all. The Protestant churches, the Catholics, doesn't matter. The so-called Christians, the Amen Corner, that are rabidly Republican, they go right. They would never vote against these Republicans. It wouldn't matter who's it wouldn't matter what party fired those people. They could be Republicans in Dallas at the Republican school board members or whatever. But whoever fired them, it doesn't matter. No one's going to do anything about that.
Yeah, there's no recourse, and I think people are beginning to understand. You're getting fired up, Eddie. Longtime listeners of the show are well familiar why we call this man the Bombardier, and it isn't because he's a pilot. But I got to cool Eddie down a little bit before he let them rip. But nevertheless, no, Eddie never says anything untowards on radio, but he does get impassioned about this, and he should, because as Eddie is talking about here, and as you all well know, other than, you know, this radio program and a handful of organizations, networks such as RBN, the founding stock of this nation has no recourse. There is no political parties that are standing up, not to discriminate against anyone, but for just to stand up for a sense of law and order and true equality, wherein which the best man for the job gets the job, not because you're bilingual and you're able to cater to illegal aliens. Now, speaking of political correctness, Eddie, I got another one for you. Political correctness. You cannot get more disgustingly politically correct than this. And again, you can read about this and read the documentation at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You might have noticed, Eddie, how these pathetically politically correct types keep stressing that they're prepared for angry riots in either case being if the first black presidential candidate loses or if Sarah Palin fails in her bid to become the first female vice president. I mean, I'm so sure that everyone's just on pins and needles waiting for those white soccer moms to start burning down their neighborhoods if Obama wins. I mean, you just can't get any more politically correct than that. And because folks have lost the ability or are too scared to talk about race realism and infuse common sense into some of the most important issues facing us today, we're going to continue to have to suffer like those teachers suffered. And, you know, Eddie, I just can't abide it, and that's why we do this program. We do this program on a volunteer basis because we love our people, we love our country. Certainly we're motivated by a love and affection for our family, and that's what motivates us to do this program. And it pains me to see those teachers, and there's so many more examples on a daily basis that we could use and bring to your attention. And of course, limited time, I wanted to bring up that one because that situation in Dallas just presented itself this week. But
it has
so many
examples,
James, of these folks being sacrificed on the altar of cultural Marxism, and this program here stands in defiance of the false gods of political correctness, and we're going
to
continue to fight.
I got another one
for you, Eddie. Give me your comment on this one. Colin Powell, as you know, just endorsed Barack Obama, and he says in doing so that he still has the utmost respect for his good friend, quote-unquote, John McCain, and that his decision, that being Powell's endorsement, has nothing to do with race, yada, yada, yada. You're not buying that, I know, Eddie. It's simply ethno-politics. And every group in the world practices it but white people. But that will soon have to start changing lest we face annihilation. And you heard it here first, folks, but you got a comment on Colin Powell, Eddie?
Yes, I do. you know, my grandson would say where he goes to school, he would be a token they brought into the White House. And he also was a member of the CFR, the Conference on Foreign Relations. And maybe this is an anecdotal thing that happened to me, James, to go along with the same train of thought we've been talking about. Just today I got a magazine from the University of Memphis in the mail. You know, I graduated from there at the ripe old age of 45, and went over there, and my old dean of the nursing school at Memphis, Dr. Marjorie Luttrell, she was touting how the University of Memphis is, you know, really big, working in the minority areas, and they're trying to get money, hustle money from the white folks like us, so they go down and make their big annual foray to the Dominican Republic and dish out free medical health down there, free medical care, you know, but they can never go to Appalachia or any poor white place in the United States. It always has to be, they have to travel 10,000 miles around the globe to find some, you know, poor black or poor Hispanic village. That's where they're going to go. And, you know, and like you said, James, these colored races will stick together regardless. And I don't blame them for that.
Eddie, and there's nothing wrong with that. I admire that about them, and I'm not denying them the opportunity to do that.
I respect them for it.
If there is such a situation, and certainly there are in some cases, where the most qualified candidate or the most qualified recipient for certain attention or reward would be a non-white, and I'm all for them getting that. That's the American way, but we can't have these gross double standards and these gross hypocrisies. And you're right, Eddie. Why are these people going around the world to help everyone else but their own family members? And I got one more example. We're running out of time. I do not mean to cut you off, Eddie, because you're always so well-spoken and impassioned, and that's what people need to hear. But one more example of this, the gross hypocrisy and double standard. You go to every major newspaper. Here in Memphis, it's Wendy Thomas. They have their official black columnist. And in Chicago, the Sun-Times let its official black columnist refer to Sarah Palin as sorry-ass Palin. Now, could you see, and that's a direct quote from the Chicago Sun-Times, could you see that a white columnist saying that about Barack Obama? And I'm not saying that they should, but I'm saying there's got to be an end to double standards. There's got to be an end to the so-called affirmative action. There's got to be an end to the hypocrisy, and it starts here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more good reading for you at our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to break. Check it out. We're going to be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months. Months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you on Republic Broadcasting Network tonight, transmitting from AO 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's great to be back with you tonight. And as you heard, Eddie and I got a little intense in that last segment, talking about a couple of current issues that came across the newswire this week. And we ought to be intense in the defense of our cultural heritage, but we shouldn't let that intensity carry us to overzealousness, and we should be well-reasoned and thoughtful in our arguments. But we ought to be engaged in the survival of our people, and that's what we're advocating, and I know that's what everybody out there wants, no more, no less. And folks, don't forget to support the organizations and the programs that are standing on the front lines. We certainly think we're one of those, and don't forget our fundraising drive now between now and Halloween night. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and send us a contribution, and you'll get a Halloween treat. 25 of the best of Political Cesspool episodes handpicked by myself and a book. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and donate this evening if you support our work. That being said, we go from one great guest in the first hour to another. Our second venerable and esteemed guest of the evening is Mr. David Saeed. He is a former Securities and Exchange Commissioner for the Republic of Panama, and also the former head of National Public Policy for the government of Panama. And he's going to be on to talk to us about the economy. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about that quite extensively with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Professor Don Rich, and now David Said, former Panamanian government official. Mr. Said, great to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much for the interview. I'm glad to be here with your listeners.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, and I assure you that. With your unique perspective, I wanted to quickly ask you a couple of questions about Panama, and then segue over into asking a couple. We're actually going to be using one of your articles that you wrote for Mises.org entitled American Economic Myth. But first of all, let me ask you this. Is the elimination of central banking an unattainable and utopian dream, in your opinion?
Well, Panama has been working without a central bank for over 100 years. And for more recent examples, if you would have looked and asked somebody in Italy or in Germany or, for that matter, in France, if they were going to give up their central bank, for example, the French central bank was a very powerful and strong central bank, and actually more conservative than the U.S. central bank, and they all gave it away to avoid the malaise they've been having for decades of excesses of central banks. Anybody's been to Europe or went to Europe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, can remember how much a lira or a franc would cost and how it would depreciate constantly against the dollar. Well, now the U.S. Central Bank is the one who's behaving irresponsibly and you know, something we need to analyze.
Speaking of the Panamanian system, is there a truly free market system of banking down there? And if not, how far away is it?
Well, the banking system is 100%, and the monetary system is 100% market-driven. There is no central bank, no FDIC or any type of deposit insurance. Banks have to behave very conservatively. If they don't, they go under. Nobody's going to save them. Nobody's going to bail them out. The interest rate is completely market-set, is set by the banks. And when banks need more money, they raise rates instead of lowering them like we've been doing in the past 5 years here in the U.S. Now, in the contrary, when banks have excess deposits, then they lower rates. So the system works very well because the supply and demand of money is what determines the interest rate. So savings is quite high. And deposits, for example, are over 100% of GDP.
Eddie, it sounds like you're about ready to move to Panama. I know Eddie is a guy, our co-host this evening, Mr. Said,
yes, sir,
that is very much interested in, very much a scholar of our economic system, and it's something that he has been studying for a long, long time, even before the crisis here in America. And we're going to be talking more about that in just a moment. I wanted to bring you on during the short segment here to kind of set the table for a moment, talk about the way Panama runs its banks. And when we come back after this next break, we're going to have a longer segment in which we're going to focus a little bit more. You mentioned the interest rate. We're going to talk a little bit about interest rates, and then talk about that article I mentioned that you wrote for Mises.org entitled America's Economic Myth. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. Eddie, I know this is an issue that you wanted the opportunity to address tonight, and we're going to be able to address it with very much an expert when the political cesspool returns here. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to our award-winning program on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and their affiliate stations throughout the country. And, of course, right here in Memphis on our flagship, AM 1380, WLRM Radio, and on our website, streaming live, loud, and clear, and our broadcast archives are available as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to take a break and come back with David Said, former Panamanian government official, talking about the economy both there and here. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. The festival returns right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product. Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Keita Den Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
Welcome back to the show indeed. Our guest right now, David Saeed, former official in the Panamanian government, talking about the economy and how the economy and the banking system of Panama differs from America. Mr. Saeed, you were talking briefly in this previous segment about the interest rate. I want to ask you about that before we move on. Please explain, what is the interest rate that is so commonly spoken of that the Federal Reserve manipulates? For example, what is meant by the Federal Reserve manipulating these interest rates?
Well, if you let the banks and the people, because it has to be the banks and the people that deposit, set the interest rates right now would be probably three or maybe, you know, 3.5 times what they are at this present level. Let's think about the current crisis. The risk levels are very high. There's a credit crunch. Under all these conditions, interest rates would be rising. But instead, they're falling because the Federal Reserve is pushing to go lower. It's lowering its benchmark rates. And what it does is promotes more credit. As a matter of fact, one of the curious things is if you hear Paulson, Secretary Paulson, was saying that the bailout was needed because we need more credit. And if you look at the figures of credit tell you the exact opposite thing. There's just too much credit in throughout America.
Well, and we were talking about that in the break, and it's something very that you mentioned is very interesting. It's not just that the government needs to right its financially sinking ship and get its books balanced. You suggest, and rightfully so, that the American economy cannot continue with so much personal debt. Talk to us about that.
Yes. Okay. The private debt, this is banks, households, and businesses, is $42 trillion. This is over 300% of the economy, over 320% of GDP. Now, if we look at financial sector debt, for example, which is banks, et cetera, their total debt is 140% of national income. This was only 5% in 1957, 50 years ago. It had ballooned, and so the current crisis has been in the making for over 20 years. Now, we go to household debt. It's 123% of national income. It's way more, the household debt is way more than the federal government debt, including local and state governments. So the total debt per person, for example, right now is $175,000. Per family is $700,000. This is completely unsustainable. This debt needs to go down, and everybody can feel it. We have too much credit card debt, too much mortgage debt. We have all kinds of car loans, et cetera. And what is the government doing? What's the Federal Reserve doing? Promoting more debt. The current crisis was actually solving this problem by stopping the amount of credit it was giving to people. And this is what needs to happen. A crunch like this is good because what happens is that the banks tell the people, look, we're not going to lend you anymore. You have too much debt, and everybody knows we have too much debt. And the debt starts falling. That happened in between 1999 and 2001. But now it has ballooned again. And with the federal government pushing, especially with lower interest rates, what happens is that you promote debt against savings. I mean, nobody's going to save. Everybody's going to just go in more into debt. And we're going to continue this unsustainable trend, which is really going to wreck the economy.
I want to ask you a quick question and then toss it over to Eddie Miller for a couple of questions. And this goes back to the interest rates. What are the effects, Mr. Saeed, of lowering those rates by pumping fiat currency liquidity on the U.S. economy?
Okay, and not to get to tangle, unless you want me to. Let's look at the current problem. People don't want to save. Why don't people want to save? Well, if you go to the bank, you're lucky if you get 2% in a savings account. Now the inflation is 3 or 4%. So why would you save, put money in the bank, if by the time a year has passed, you get 2%, but the inflation has ate up all of your savings or 2% of your savings? So actually, if you put money in the bank, you lose. At the end of the year, you have 2% less than what you started because the inflation is high. So people are not saving logically and rationally. What the Fed is doing is that it lowers interest rate artificially and scares away people that save. Right now, the savings rate is at the lowest level it has ever been in the U.S. The savings rate used to be between 8 and 12% in the 40s, 50s, and all the way up to 1980. Right now, it's a negative. Americans are saving negatively. They're not saving. They're taking money out of the bank, smartly so. If you're going to get 1.5%, 2% of the bank, you're obviously going to take the money out. So as long as we keep this trend of very low interest rates, people are not going to save. And when you have low interest rates, what do people do? Since credit is cheap, then you get into credit. You get more credit card debt. You get into more mortgage debt. The whole crisis right now has been created by too long a period of too much low interest rate for too long. We need to have normal interest rates, 7, 8, 9%, like it was in the 70s and 80s, The average interest rate in the 80s was 8.3%. Right now, the average interest rate in this decade has been 2.5%. This is unsustainable. You know, we are going to ruin the savings, and we have, is negative savings for the first time in over 250 years in this country. And there's just over 100% of credit in households, for example. So this needs to stop.
Eddie, I know this is something you've been following with great interest. A penny for your thoughts?
Well, I would just like to chime in and see if I'm not right here. You know, just taking the United States Federal Reserve right now, which is a group of private bankers. They're not part of the federal government at all. And you correct me any time I'm wrong, Mr. Saib. Pretty much right now, the Federal Reserve could probably be considered the central bank for the world right now. Matter of fact, the Bank for International Settlements and the World Bank, I believe they get most of their money, probably 40% of their money from the United States, central bank, the Federal Reserve. And really, the Federal Reserve nor the United States government has any money to loan. The only way that the Federal Reserve can get money is I'm leading to a point. The American government, when they need money, they have one way to get several ways to get it, and that's raise taxes on the people, which would be real unpopular politically. So what they usually like to do, they like to go and they print up these bogus bonds, these totally worthless bonds. They print a bunch of, take some paper and put some pretty ink on it, and they go and they sell these bonds. If they can get people, private companies and private people to buy the bonds, and I'm leading to a question, then that's using private investors' money. But what's inflationary, is when the Federal Reserve buys these bonds, and they buy the lion's share of the federal bonds, they print the money up out of thin air. They just print it out of fiat currency, like James mentioned earlier. They buy these bonds, and the only way the Federal Reserve can make money is by charging interest on this fiat money. That's why they like to keep those interest rates low, is because of the more money they can make and pump into the system, the more money they can make, because that's the only way they have to make money. And whether you go and use your credit card, electronic transaction, or if you use a Federal Reserve notes in your wallet, it doesn't matter how you do it. the more money you put out there in the system, the more money the Federal Reserve issues, the more interest they get back to the government. But really, like you said, Mr. Saib, the more money you put into the system, the more that's what inflation is. It's increasing the money supply. The Federal Reserve, another big reason they're in for this, they really want to bring the world into a world like a one world government, and they're doing it through the banking system, and they're going to make everybody equally poor. But do you think, am I on the right track there, Mr. Saib?
Yes, so you're touching very good points. Actually, since Bretton Woods, which was after very near where I'm living now in Boston, in New Hampshire, the U.S. got together with all the governments after the World War II. And they decided to have this system where the U.S. Central Bank was going to be the world's central bank. But at that time, U.S. Central Bank, and actually this was going to be the only bank to keep gold reserves. One of the reasons why Federal Reserve is called the Federal Reserve is because it had gold reserves in its bank. A bank is by definition, is something that kept gold. So, the Federal Reserve, every time they wanted to print money, they would have to get gold. So it wasn't like they could print money out of thin air up to 1971.
Correct.
In August 1971, Nixon suspended that. And ever since, we've had this period of huge imbalances. We've had several financial crises since then and huge inflation. Because now the federal government can just, and the Federal Reserve, can just print money out of thin air without having to back it up with gold. That's like saying that I have a checking account and I can just write checks and I don't have to make any deposits. That's basically what the Federal Reserve is doing. Every time it pumps $900 billion, like it did 15 days ago, to the financial system, it doesn't have to make a deposit. Imagine an American that could do that. They can have a bank account, put out checks, and not have to make a deposit.
Well, let me ask you this. Switching gears just slightly before we run out of time, because this is also an issue that is on a lot of people's minds, and that's with regards to oil. Two questions about oil, and you can take them in whichever order you want. Number one, are oil prices in America primarily based on the dependence of foreign oil, and is inflation, in fact, caused by rising oil prices?
Okay, obviously inflation is not caused by rising oil prices because, and this is a very huge myth, because, okay, if the economy was only two items, food and oil, and money supply was fixed, which it used to be, and the price of oil goes up, then the price of food would go down because the demand for food would go down. So obviously, if there's no monetary stimulus, the price of one product going up would lower the other products because there would be lower demand for the other products. So obviously it's not that. Now, the whole myth of foreign dependence, now I have a rhetorical question. How about tithes? Most of the tithes that we wear, or socks, or shoes, or most clothing items, are not manufactured in this country. And one of the reasons why this country has one of the lowest clothing prices in the world is because most of this is imported from Southeast Asia, India, Vietnam is an importer, China, etc. So the origin of a product has nothing to do with its price. Even if you had 100% production of oil in the U.S., which would be good, but even if you did, the price of oil would be determined in the world market. So obviously, the problem of foreign and local oil has nothing to do with the price of oil and producing in state or in the 50 states or outside is not going to lower or increase the price. That's not going to make a difference. I actually think if you produce, for example, in a country like Nigeria, you can get lower prices because they have lower labor costs, just like producing clothing or shirts is cheaper in China than it is in, let's say, Germany.
Well, let me ask you this. That's very interesting and makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you one more thing before we run out of time, and I see we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to be sure to give you the opportunity to plug your writings where people can learn a little bit more about these economic problems and read your hypotheses there. But do you think the future of the American economy is a future wrought with hyperinflation such as what Argentina went through a few years ago? And if we are to avoid that, what are some logical steps our people need to take?
Well, the only thing that's going to stop the inflation, aside from, having the Federal Reserve behave like a regular bank, is the recession. People, for some reason, those of us who have lived several recessions, I've seen several in my lifetime, know that a recession is not the end of the world. You know, many people remember the 2001 recession. You know, the stock market went down, there was a recession. The world did not come to an end. The same thing happened in 1991 and before that. Recession is a period where the economy goes into cleanup, and it's like going to sleep. The boom period is very much like some economists have defined it like the party period. It's when everybody's out and having a good time, and imagine people being out and having a drink. Right now, and during this current boom cycle, it's pretty much 3 a.m. We need to close down the bar. We need to send everybody home. Everybody needs to rest so they don't have a hangover. But what the Federal Reserve is doing is, and the Treasury now, is trying to pump more money into the system and basically keeping the bar open, putting more liquor out there so we can continue the party. But the party needs to stop. We need to go to bed. We need to rest. If not, the hangover is going to be longer and the headache is going to be so big that nobody's going to be able to wake up properly. So we need to stop this. We need to go 3-6 months into a short recession, sleep it off, then we're ready to grow this economy back up. If we don't do that, then we're going to have some problems.
Well, the analogy of a hangover is certainly one that I believe we can all relate to. We only have 30 seconds, Mr. Saeed, before we run out of time with you tonight. I want to thank you for coming on the program and lending us your expertise. I assume folks can read more of your work at Mises.org. That's M-I-S-E-S.org. Am I right?
That's correct. And there's a lot of good articles there about the current crisis and why is government who created it and not the people or not even the banks are involved in this.
Well, folks, check it out. Check out the writings of David Saeed, former Panamanian government official at Mises.org. And thanks again for your time tonight, sir. We got to go to break. We'll be back with more James Edwards and the Bombardier Eddie Miller right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we've certainly covered a lot of ground tonight, from Halloween to a variety of current issues to a discussion of the economy with a former head of the Panamanian government. We really do leave no stone unturned here in the political cesspool. But now I'm very excited about this segment because this is a segment we get to do but once a year. It is, in fact, our birthday here in the Political Cesspool. We are 4 years old tomorrow. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We first took to the airwaves on October 26th, 2004, and the world of talk radio has never been the same since. Certainly a lot's happened since that inaugural show. I was there. I can remember. I still remember it. And we've come a long way, I think, since then. And so what we're going to be doing here during this last hour is talking with the current hosts of the program. Of course, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who you've been hearing from tonight, Bill Rowland and Winston Smith, my other co-hosts, will also be calling in over the course of this next hour. And we're going to be hearing with some of our production team as well as we reflect upon some of our favorite memories and programs and some of our favorite guests. And some of the things we've accomplished and some of the defeats we've suffered over the last 4 years. We're going to talk about it all. This hour is all about us. And now that all of the great listeners here at RBN have had a couple of months to get acclimated to us, perhaps you'll appreciate it all the more. And, Eddie, you know, you've been hosting this show for a couple of years yourself. It's been a pretty good ride, huh?
I tell you, it's been one heck of a ride. I've really enjoyed it. I even had fun. It was even fun. We had to fight the heat and the bitter cold and the snakes. WLRM.
Eddie is not kidding. I mean, we've been out there here at WLRM where you endure 100 degree heat in the studio. We've been out here in the winter when the heat isn't working, and you were dreaming for those hot summer days. We've been out here with snake infestations. We've seen it all, and that's just some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but it's certainly been a long and sordid rise to wherever we are now. I don't know where it is. I would say prominence, but I don't want to misuse the word, but I can remember way back when in December of 2004 when we had the kickoff party with Sonny Landham. He was in movies such as Predator and 48 Hours. He came to keynote our kickoff party, which was actually 3 months after the fact, because we saw that we were going to obviously be a success here in the Memphis area. In February of 2005, I was even named honorary Memphis City Councilman by the city of Memphis. I'm sure they regret that one. The program itself received a certificate of recognition for outstanding contributions to the community, and that's something that's been much talked about by the ADL and the SPLC, the fact that the city of Memphis would award us with such honors, but that's how it all got started, and we've been on the air, have broadcasted over 800 shows, and we're going to be talking about some of our favorite moments over the course of those last 4 years and 800-plus shows when the cesspool continues in our third and final hour tonight. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller are about to be joined by our cohorts when the program returns right after this.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.